Where do the wars and the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make more war within your members? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but you cannot obtain. You fight and wage war, yet you do not possess because you do not ask. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. The story of two monks who said to them, to each other, you know, everybody in the world is arguing all the time. How come? Well, possessions and honor and praise and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So the other one said, okay, let's put a rock right in the middle here between the two of us. And then we'll discuss who it is, whose it is. We'll have a fight. I know what that's like. So they put the rock there. And one of the monks said, that's my rock. The other one says, okay, take it. So that sort of shows you the difference, right? The spirit that he has made to dwell in us tends toward jealousy. What does that mean? Single-minded. You know, committed to God. Living in the presence of God. And doing those things that lead not only ourselves but others to union with God. And so that's James's advice for the day. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Then we have exactly the opposite. Why didn't the disciples get it? Well, you'll notice, especially in Mark, but in all the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, every time our Lord predicts the Passion, they don't get it. And the reason they don't get it is because they're trying to be big shots. Marvelous example today, huh? Jesus and his disciples left from there. Now, where is there? I'm doing this not to embarrass you, but to make you think, wait a minute, in what gear is my mind when I'm hearing scripture, you know? Reverse? I mean, where is it? There must be up there in the Decapolis, right? That's where he was in the last story. Anyway, and he began to tell them another time, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise. They didn't understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. And then, and this is for us, not just, why didn't the disciples get it? Well, what were you arguing about on the way? And they remained silent. Why? For they had been discussing among themselves on the way, who was the greatest? See, that's the surest way not to get it. And if you'll notice, in Mark particularly, every time there's the Passion prediction, there is this totally inadequate response. And the reason is always one of these reasons that we just saw here. The next time, where are we in Mark? Yeah, the next time, he'll produce, you know, our Lord will tell them about, they're on their way to Jerusalem. He says, we're on our way to Jerusalem where the Son of Man is going to be arrested and tortured and killed and then rise again. And they don't know what he's talking about. A few minutes later, in the text anyway, Peter and James and John, rather, go to Jesus. And with the in Matthew, I think, mom comes along. And Let my two sons be at your right and on your left. Now we see why we don't get it. Because we're egomaniacs. We're pushing ourselves all the time. And that's not the way to understand the Lord's passion. It's very subtle, but if you watch, especially in Mark, the three passion predictions, and every time there's this inadequate response. You remember the first one? The first time Jesus, we're in chapter 9 now, in chapter 8, our Lord predicted his passion. And what did Peter do? He took him aside and said, "Oh Lord, not you." And Jesus didn't say, "Peter, let me explain," did he? He said, "You get out of my way, Satan. Out of my way." That's the Pope. The notion is, if we're praying for enlightenment, we have to be willing to be like Jesus. And the step one is humility. That's step one. The rule of Saint Benedict, you know, has this whole 12 steps to humility, because that's the basis. Well, how do we get there? Well, you don't get there by self-hate or an inferiority complex. You get there by loving Jesus. And pretty soon, I don't have to worry about my ego. Jesus is worrying about it. Insofar as it's worth anything, he'll take care of that. And that's the point here, you see. So then they finally, they had been discussing among themselves on the way, who was the greatest? There's a certain naivete there, right? We're too sophisticated to argue. You think I'd get in a fight with Eric about who's the greatest? Especially in public. I mean, like, I'm the greatest. You're not the greatest, you know. It's not cool. I might think I'm the greatest, but I would never say that. Well, the problem is I think it. And that's got to go. Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, that's Mark, he's the only one who adds that, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child, such as this, receives me. And whoever receives me, receives not me, but the one who sent me." To receive a child, to care for a child, that's part of the work out of the abortion clinic. You see, whoever sees you, sees me. So whoever sees a Christian, you know, praying outside the abortion clinic, sees Christ fighting for the life of those children. And witnessing. That's what he means. So the key is not to be proud. St. Teresa of Avila says, humility is not thinking little of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself at all. And people like that, they get there. They're polarized by Jesus. All they care about is that he be known and loved and glorified, and that the Father be obeyed, and that people come to heaven. That's on their mind. That's why she, you know, even when she was sick, traveling all over Spain, trying to reform the Carmelite so that they could be happy, so that they could be with the Lord. Great, I'll end with this story because I've probably gone too long already. Not bad. Anyway, she was traveling along, and because her health wasn't good, she was in the back of a little donkey cart. I may have told you this one before. And the cart went through a little brook and upset and kaplunk. She went right in the water. Then the Lord appeared to her. She said, you know, "How come you let that happen?" And he said, That's the way I treat my friends. Well, then, she said, well, then, it's no wonder you have so few of them. We have to love him.